Hey church, so good to see each and every one of you. I wish I could be there in person with you, but by now I'm sure you have heard that COVID is just all over the place again. We are not immune to it. No pun intended. And even our staff has been hit with it. And so first of all, let me just say, I want to encourage you to just be praying for everybody who is connected here. Thankfully, we've not seen like crazy bad like symptoms and that kind of stuff from everybody. Thankfully, it's pretty short-lived when it does happen, but just want to encourage you to be praying for everybody that's involved there. I will say though, this whole thing with COVID and with our staff and all that kind of stuff has made this week absolutely crazy to the point where you're actually watching this sermon on the big screen. I can't even be there with you because I've been exposed to someone who's tested positive for COVID. And so here we are, right? Man, and what's crazy is like this COVID stuff just brings about like so many different emotions, right? I mean, and I'm not even talking about like the political stuff of who's anti-vaxxing and all the whatever, right? And I'm not even getting into all that. I'm just talking about like if you've had it or even like if you've given it to somebody else, like, oh my goodness, like all the different emotions, like some people feel like a huge burden of guilt, right? If someone else got it from them, even though, I mean, they were showing signs of symptoms or whatever, you know, it just happens, right? There's this delay and all this kind of stuff, but still people feel so bad because like, what if something happened, all that kind of stuff. Some people are just terrified, right? Like scared to death that somebody might get like really, really sick from this stuff, end up in the hospital or something like that. And I get it. Like fear is a real thing with this. And some people just really internalize that fear with all of this. Some people are just stir crazy, right? Like as you see me in this room here, like I'm in this room for days. Like my family's outside the room, but I can't really do anything with them, and I can't really talk to them. I can't really do. Anyway, I just am ready to get out and then be around people again. Like I'm just like maybe you're kind of feeling that too of the isolation and the quarantining and that kind of stuff, and you just start to get stir crazy. Like I just gotta be somewhere. I gotta be doing something, right? I gotta be around people. Some people just get angry, like, you know, particularly talking about the media and their coverage of it and all kinds of different stuff. And some people like, oh, maybe if you got COVID and the person that you got it from, you felt like they should have been more careful. And you're like, oh, I can be really frustrated and angry about like, why didn't they do more? I can't believe this is happening to me. And which sometimes even brings about that emotion of anxiety and like, well, what's gonna happen? And you just start feeling super nervous and that pit in your stomach, like, oh, like what's gonna happen to all this? And I bring all of this up just simply to say that all of this is spiritual. All of this is spiritual. And church, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next month. This idea that everything that we deal with is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. COVID is spiritual. The way we respond to COVID is spiritual. Whether we get sick or not is spiritual. The way we decide whether we're going to vaccinate or not is spiritual. Like, all of these things have not only spiritual implications, but our spiritual awareness of what God is doing and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, like, is absolutely impacting how we do all of these things. Everything is spiritual. This, even right now, is spiritual, right? Everything that we do has spiritual implications. Everything that we do, if God really is present everywhere that we are, then that means everything is a spiritual experience. Hear that again. If we really believe that God is everywhere, if we really believe that God is in all things, then everything that we do is a spiritual experience. And that means that if God is there, that means the miraculous is possible, but it also means that we could miss what God is trying to do in the midst of those spiritual experiences, right? This month, we're going to talk about this idea, this theme, the fact that everything is spiritual. This, whatever this is, whatever moment you're in, this is spiritual. So we are in the midst of this 30-day fit challenge, and each week we're going to focus on another way that we can be fit, that we can be healthy in our relationship with the Lord. And this first week, we're gonna look at how we can be mentally fit, how we can be attentive to our mental health, and talk about how what is going on in our mind is absolutely connected to what is going on in our spirit, right? Because the way that we think and the way that we feel is spiritual. Hear that again. The way that we think and the way that we feel is spiritual. And so we've got to recognize that if those are spiritual things, then one, we need to recognize that the enemy may be trying to steal, kill, and destroy some things in our lives, but it also means that God is at work and the miraculous can happen even in our minds. He can do impossible things. And so today we're going to focus on how we can be mentally fit, how we can see what is spiritual even in the way that we think and that we feel. And so before we get into all of that, if you would just pray with me. God, I thank you so much for your great presence with us. I thank you, Lord, that this is a spiritual moment. I thank you, God, that you are with us and that you are speaking into our lives even right now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and that your message alone would be proclaimed even here and now. God, help us all to hear from you and to respond to you, to take advantage of this spiritual moment in which we find ourselves right now, God, that we might say yes to you in whatever way you might be challenging us. God, we submit to you now. Have your way in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about this idea of mental health and the spiritual implications of that mental health through the life of Elijah. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 18 and chapter 19. I'm actually going to be doing a lot of storytelling today, so I won't be reading directly from the Bible in a lot of these situations, but if you have your Bible open, then you can kind of follow along with the story there as well. So one of the most amazing stories involving the prophet Elijah is he has recognized that the government, as it is, has been killing the prophets of God, right? And as he understands it, now he doesn't know some other things at work here, but as he understands it, he is the only prophet of God that is left at this point in the story. And he calls out to Ahab, who is like the military leader at this point. And he says to Ahab, hey, why don't you round up all of the prophets of Baal, meet me up on the mountain here, and we'll talk some more. Well, Ahab wanted to take out Elijah, and so he was willing to meet him wherever Elijah was willing to meet. And he gets up there, and Elijah says, okay, here's what we're going to do. There's hundreds of you. There's just one of me. Let's do this. How about you, the prophets of Baal, you take one bull, and you sacrifice that bull, and you call out to Baal, and let's see if Baal will respond by bringing fire from heaven to actually like cook the sacrifice there, right? And then he said, what I'll do is I'll prepare a sacrifice of a bull before God, and I will also call for fire from heaven. And whoever's God responds, then we'll know that God is the true God. Well, as the story keeps going through 1 Kings, chapter 18, the prophets of Baal, they get their bull together and they get it all laid out and everything like that, and nothing happens and all day long. And Elijah, actually, this is where I make, if you don't see humor in the Bible, you really need to check out 1 Kings chapter 18, because Elijah starts like poking fun at him, like, oh, well, maybe he's asleep, or he literally says at one point, oh, well, maybe he's in the bathroom, right? Like, it's in the Bible, I promise you. And anyway, but he's just like digging all this stuff at him, and they're just, they cannot get fire to come from heaven, obviously, because Baal is just idol worship. Well, eventually Elijah says, okay, well, y'all get up out the way here. Let me do my thing. And so he gets the sacrifice and he puts it on the altar, and he brings in these stones, right? And he puts the stones all around and everything. And then he tells people, in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a drought, he says, okay, I need you to take some jars and I need you to pour water all over the sacrifice. And not just once, do it three times. Just keep putting water. Now, again, they're in the midst of a famine. They're in the midst of a drought, and they're just pouring water over here. Like, I can't even imagine what they're all thinking. Like, what kind of waste is this? Like, I can't even believe Elijah's doing this. He's the only guy here who's still following God, and he thinks this is going to work. This is absolutely ridiculous. And then Elijah, in boldness, just calls on the name of the Lord and says, God, would you just show yourself and be glorified even now? And sure enough, the fire of God comes down, and not only does it burn up the sacrifice, but it burns up all the water around it. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing, the victory that God had over Baal and that Elijah had over the prophets of Baal. And it was unbelievable. Now, the not so great part of this story is that then Elijah had all of the prophets of Baal killed. There may be some theological discussion that we need to have in that regard, but the point is, there was a great victory for the Lord in all of this. Now, and this is where that last part becomes really, really important. Once we get into chapter 19 of 1 Kings, well, then we find out that Ahab, this military leader, goes back to Jezebel, who's like the queen, and says to her, like, hey, Elijah just killed all the prophets of Baal because fire came down from heaven. And Jezebel said that she would not rest, basically, until Elijah was killed. And basically said that by this time tomorrow, Elijah will be dead. In fact, she sent messengers out to Elijah, which is just kind of an interesting way of doing that to me, like, or way of doing that. Like, it's one thing to threaten somebody's life. It's another thing to send a courier to let them know that that you're doing that. And he did that. They sent out a messenger to Elijah to make sure that he knew that within 24 hours he was going to be dead. And Elijah, right after he had this amazing spiritual encounter with God, where everybody would say, like, oh my goodness, the fire of God came down. Like, how much more the presence of God do you need it? And like right after that, because of Jezebel's threat on his life, he runs and he goes as far away as he can. He says that in verse 3, it says that Elijah was actually afraid for his life, and he ran off into the wilderness all by himself. Right? He eventually finds a bush and he crawls under the bush and he just cries out to God, would you just take my life? All right, now I want to stop here just long enough to acknowledge two things here, right? One, as I mentioned, nobody would deny the fact that when the fire of God came down, Elijah was in smack dab in the middle of a spiritual moment with God. But the reality is that even when he found himself under the bush, even when he was calling out to God, saying, Lord, just take my life before Jezebel does, that was also a spiritual moment. God was just as present under the bush as he was on the mountaintop when he sent fire down on that sacrifice. See, many times I think we get this idea that oh, it's only when we experience the spiritual victories, only when we overcome the enemy, only when we see God do impossible and miraculous things, those are the only times that are really and truly spiritual. But the reality is that everything is spiritual. And even though Elijah found himself in this great state of depression, even though Elijah found himself in this place of not even wanting to live anymore, even in that mindset, that was spiritual. Even in that difficulty, even in that fear, even in that anxiety, that was still a spiritual moment. God was still right there. And what we need to recognize as well is that even negative moments are still spiritual moments. Even fearful moments are still spiritual moments. Even when we're not up on the mountaintop, like there's still spiritual moments. When we find ourselves running off into the wilderness, those are still spiritual moments. God is still right there with you. God is still available. The miraculous power of God is still open and available to you and to all of us. See, everything is spiritual. Even when our mindset is not where it ought to be, even when our mindset is stuck in negativity and anxiety and depression, those are still spiritual moments. Now, what I want to get to and where I want to spend the rest of my time here is how it is that God responded in the midst of this spiritual moment. And how it is that what this interaction was like between Elijah and God, even in the midst of this deep depression in which Elijah found himself. The first thing that we see here is that in verses 5-8, God basically just tells Elijah that he needs to eat, right? It's kind of interesting. So Elijah, after he cries for God to take his life, he actually falls asleep under a tree. And in fact, let me read this for you. In verse 5, it says, "Then Elijah lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and then he lay down. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and he ate and he drank." Now, here's the first thing that I want you to focus on as you're connecting the dots here between that which is which is impacting us mentally, that which is impacting us spiritually, and how it is that we can truly submit ourselves to God in all of this in some really practical ways. All right, here's the first thing. That is, what you eat and drink will impact how you think and feel, and all of that is spiritual. I know, it doesn't seem like this should be part of a sermon, right? But the reality is that what you eat and drink will impact how you think and how you feel, and all of that is spiritual. All of it. So just my number one really practical idea from God to Elijah to us here today is we have to recognize that what we put into our bodies is going to impact our mind, and the way that we impact our mind is going to impact everything, and even in our spirit. All of this is spiritual. If you don't feel good in your body, that's spiritual, and the enemy will use that against you. If you don't feel good in your mind, that's spiritual, and the enemy is going to use that against you. We just have to recognize that what we eat and drink will impact how we think and feel, and all of that is spiritual. All right? Now, the next thing that God does is he tells him to go to a certain place. There in verse 8, it says that Elijah got up and he ate and he drank, and strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, I'm not going to get into like all of the history with this, but just trust me, there is a lot of history with this, even all the way back to Moses and all those kinds of things. God has done some really crazy, awesome stuff at Mount Horeb. The point is that that was an environment where Elijah knew that God was present, right? It was an environment where Elijah knew that God has a history of doing some things there. And so here's my number two point here of just some super practical stuff of how we can be mentally fit and how we can connect what's happening mentally to what's happening spiritually and actually live that out in our lives. You ready? Here we go. Number two, that is that your environment will impact how you think and how you feel, and that is spiritual. Y'all need to get this now. Your environment, like, and hear me now, that's not just the places where you are, although that's part of it. It's not just the places where you are, but it's even the people that you're around. It's even the things that you're doing, like, on a regular basis that makes up your environment. Like, for example, like, if you're on your phone 12 hours a day, like, that's going to impact your environment. Because it means that you're looking here and that this space is your whole environment. That means that everyone else around you, everything else around you is no longer part of your environment because you're closing them off. Like the our environment will absolutely impact how we think and how we feel, and that is spiritual. What we see on our devices and our screens, like what we watch, the movies we go see, the music that we listen to, all of that is part of our environment. The conversations we have and the people that we talk to, the interaction we have with people online, whether friend or foe, like all of that is part of our environment. The people that we work with and the way that we drive there, like all of that is part of our environment. The way that we interact with family members and the way that we feel about those family members, the way that we invest in those family members, all of that is part of our environment. Every aspect of our environment impacts how we think and how we feel, and all of that is spiritual. All of it. Now, I keep saying the same phrase over and over and over again, because if we don't recognize that everything is spiritual, then we'll keep hanging around the same people that aren't leading us to God, and then we'll wonder why we keep feeling spiritually defeated. Well, it's because when we're choosing friends, if we're not submitting to God and the friends that we choose, then we're going to experience spiritual defeat. Right? If we're not submitting to God in the places that we go, then we're going to experience spiritual defeat. If we're not submitting to God in what we look at on our phones or on our devices or our movies, if we're not submitting to God in the music that we listen to, if we're not submitting to God in the way that we interact with our family, if we're not submitting to God in the way that we drive to work, if we're not submitting to God when we get to work, like, if we're not submitting to God in all of those things, then we're going to experience spiritual defeat, and we might not know why. And it's all because everything is spiritual, but we're missing it. We're missing it. Even our environment, everything that makes up all the stuff around us is spiritual. See, God knew that if Elijah went to Mount Horeb, he would expect some things from him there. See, we've got to create an environment where we begin to expect some things from God, where we expect to see God. We've got to recognize that no matter what environment we're in, God is there. And so if we're at home, we can expect to see God. If we're in a worship service, we can expect to see God. If we're at work, we can expect to see God. If we're on the road driving in the midst of rush hour traffic, we can expect to see God. Like, no matter where we are, we've got to get this mindset, just like Elijah had from Mount Horeb, that God is there and we can expect to see him at work because everything is spiritual. Now, this next part, verses 9 through 14, if you're part of a community group, you're gonna be studying this week, so I'm not going to get into this too big, but the reality is that God showed his presence to Elijah in this interaction here, right? And so my really practical tip number three for how it is we can connect what's happening mentally to what's happening spiritually and how we can live that out practically is this. Your awareness of God in your right now life will impact how you think and feel, and that is spiritual. Let me say that again. Your awareness of God in your right now life will impact how you think and feel. And that is spiritual. So for example, your awareness of God in the midst of a worship service will impact how you think and feel right now. And that is spiritual. Your awareness of God as you read the Bible and as you are reminded of the things of who God is and what he's done in your life. Like when you expose yourself to that more, it will change how you think and feel. And that is spiritual. Your awareness of God through conversation and prayer will change how you think and feel, and that is spiritual. See, Elijah had an encounter with God such that he experienced the presence of God, right? And we have to recognize as well that we can be impacted by the presence of God as well. We can do that in our worship. We can do that in our Bible study. We can do that in our prayer life. We can do that in all different kinds of ways, through fasting and whatnot, even through solitude and all these different kinds of things, right? There's all kinds of spiritual disciplines that help us get into the presence of God, but we have to be intentional to enter into that presence, right? All right, let me move on here to number four. And that is that after that time of presence with God, God gave Elijah some instruction. And that was he was to go and to anoint a couple of people as kings over Aram and Israel. And he was also to go and to anoint Elisha as the next prophet over Israel. And so here's what I want you to recognize in all of this. That is that God sent Elijah with a mission for discipleship. And this is really, really important when it comes to Elijah's mental health and well-being. It becomes really, really important when we think about like how it is that he was pursuing God, right? Like just a moment ago, just an evening ago, or actually it was 40 days before this, he had crawled up under a bush and wanted to die. But now God was sending him on mission, and he went and he did the very things that God told him to do. See, you're not going to do the things of God if you're overcome mentally with what a previous pastor referred to as stinking thinking, right? If all you're thinking about is how terrible life is, then it's going to be really hard to engage the mission of God. However, once you engage the mission of God, it's also going to be really hard for you to hold on to all that negative thinking, because you're going to know that you've got purpose in your life. You're going to know that you've got value for the kingdom because you're making a difference in the lives of others. You're going to know that you are actually making a difference in the lives of others through the grace of Jesus Christ in your life. So here's the number four, my number four really practical idea here for how we can connect mental well-being to our spiritual state and what that looks like. Number four, your commitment to seeing God's work in others will impact how you think and feel, and that is spiritual. The reality is you have value for the kingdom of God. You have purpose for the kingdom of God. When you become less concerned about your stuff and more concerned about seeing God's stuff in other people, you are going to feel more healthy. It isn't just about being nice, right? It's not just about putting on a smiling face. It's about actually doing the work that God has called you to do, doing the work of discipleship, actually investing in others for the kingdom's sake, not just because you're a nice person and they're a nice person, but because of the grace of Jesus Christ. When we are committed to seeing God's work in others, he will change the way we think and feel, and that is spiritual. All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the worship team to come on up now. And as they're coming, let me just throw out this week's challenge for you. Again, this whole month we're engaging this 30-day fit challenge. This is week one, and we're talking about how we can be mentally fit. You should have a fit challenge card either on the chair that you're sitting on or the one right next to you. And there's a few things there that I want to encourage you to look at. These are some things you can do this week to really make some steps in terms of your own mental health, but also the same steps are, again, all of this is spiritual. So as you grow in your mental strength and fortitude, you're also going to be growing spiritually, right? These are things like taking deep breaths, memorizing some verses out of the Bible, talking to someone about a frustration that you have, or even just and even just writing in a journal a few times throughout the week. These are things that might seem like super simple, but I want to challenge you to do all of these things. What if you said, you know what, I'm going to do each and every one of these things this week. I don't normally journal. I don't really like to talk to people about my frustrations. I'm not really good at memorizing Bible verses, and I've never really stopped to take a deep breath ever in my life. But I'm going to do these things just to see if they might have some sort of impact on me this week. I challenge you to take the fit challenge this week. Then when you come back next week, if you've done all four of those things, we're gonna have a way for you. You're gonna put your name on a slip of paper. We're gonna put that in a jar. We're actually gonna give away some prizes for people who are doing the fit challenges each week. So you don't have to bring the card back each week, but if you do all four of these things that are on this Fit Challenge card, you're going to be able to, through the honor system now, you're going to be able to put your name on a slip of paper, it's going to go in a hat, and we're going to be able to draw one of those. Somebody's going to get a prize for doing this. Now, I know you're not doing it for the prize, but man, isn't it awesome to have a little reward at the end of this too, right? Church, just know, we're doing this together. And these are things that you can focus on with this Fit Challenge, but there's, I mean, I really want to challenge you to think about, like, what is your environment like? Is your environment one that is actually conducive to seeing God do the miraculous in your life? Or are there some places that need to change? Are there some people that need to change? Are there some habits that need to change? How aware are you of what God is doing in your life? How much are you in God's word? How much are you actually praying to him? How much are you truly worshiping him as opposed to just showing up on a Sunday morning? Like how aware are you of what God is doing, not just here in this building, but even just throughout your lives? How committed are you to seeing God's work in other people? I'm challenging you with all of these things because when we focus on growing in these ways and changing our environment and being aware of what God is doing in our lives and committing ourselves to really investing the kingdom in other people, when we begin to do that, it's going to have a positive impact in our mental stability as well. It's going to have a positive impact in our mental health as well. As the more that we begin to receive from God and turn that outward, God is going to make a difference in us. Church, it's all spiritual. I want to invite you now, as we sing together, respond to him. Maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer. Maybe you just want to go to the prayer room and pray with somebody. Maybe you just want to pull somebody aside right where you are right now and just ask for God to make a change in your life. Maybe there are some things that you know need to change already and you're ready to accept the challenge. Maybe the prayer is, Lord, help me to accept the challenge today. Whatever it is, just say yes to God and let him have his way. Love you, church.